And Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giribanadari, Jaya Giribanadari. Jaya Jasoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana. Jaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Kunjabi Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bom. Go to Premanande. Hare. Hare bo, Hare bo, Hare bo, Nitai Gora Hare bo. Nitai Gora Hare bo, Hare bo, Hare bo, Nitai Gora Hare bo. Go to Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Chani Chalilava Vishnom Vishnapaparam Sa Paravikachaya Asta Trishi Shiman Abhai Chanada Vindabhakti Vrana Swam Shila Prabhupada Ki. Chani Chalilava Vishnom Vishnapaparam Sa Paravikachaya Asta Trishi Shiman Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Guru Parampara Ki. Namachai Shila Haridas Thakur Ki. प्रेम कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद श्री राधा सर गौ भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण को गोपना श्याम खुन राध खुन गौवदान की वृंदावन राम की चुमन माय की पाक देव की वृंदेव की तस्मा रानी की नाटकोटि वैश्वण की कंटराज श्रीमद भागवताम की हर नाम श्याम कथान की गौर प्रेम नंदी हरि हरि भागो सुंदर बरिस आगो सुंदर बरिस आगो सुंदर बरिस All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga and Raman Reiti Mandir Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam ato jayam mudirayat shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantosto abhadrani viranoti sritsatam nastapareshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki krishna swadharma pagate dharma ganadi bihi saha klonistat Pranika Prana Kodanoritaha Omagyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militamiyana Tasmashi Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada Kichi Jai Gornitaha Kijai Jai Radhashama Sunda Kijai Krishna Balarama Kijai Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishihi. So we're reading from text, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Verse 36, 37, 38. So Verdura, please repeat. Verduro Vacha Savai Vishva Shujamisho Veda din mukato asrijad Yad yad yena spijaj devas Tanme bruhi tapo dana Savai vishva shijami sho Yajan Devas Shamisho Matas So word for word, Viduru Vacha, Vidura said, Saha, he, Brahma, Vai, certainly, Vishva, the universe, Srijam, of those who created, Ishaha, the controller, Veda Adin, the Vedas, etc., Muktaha, from the mouth, ashijat, established, yat, that, yat, which, yena, by which, ashijat, created, devaha, the god, tat, that, may, unto me, bruhi, please explain, tapaha dana, O sage whose only wealth is penance. Translation, please repeat after me. Vidura said, O great sage, whose only wealth is penance, kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge which emanated from his mouth. No purport, so we will go to the next verse. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Maitreya vacha rigyaju samatar vakyan vedan purva dipir mukai shastram idyam stuti so stomam prayachitam vyadhat karna kramat. Translation, Maitreya said, beginning from the front face of Brahma, gradually the four Vedas, Rig, Yajurs, Sama, and Atharva, became manifest. Thereafter, Vedic hymns, which had not been pronounced before, priestly rituals, the subject matters of the recitation, and transcendental activities were all established one after another. Text 38. Ayurvedam Dhanurvedam Gandharvam Vedam Atmanaha Stapatyam Cha Shrijad Vedam Kramat Purva Dibir Mukai. Translation. He also created the medical science, the military art, the musical art, and architectural science, all from the Vedas. They all emanated one after another, beginning from the front face. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Vedas contain perfect knowledge, which includes all kinds of knowledge necessary for the human society, not only on this particular planet, but on other planets as well. It is understood that military art is also necessary knowledge for the upkeep of social order, as is the art of music. All these groups of knowledge are called the Upapurana, or supplements of the Vedas. Spiritual knowledge is the main topic of the Vedas, but to help the human being's spiritual pursuit of knowledge, the other information, as above mentioned, forms necessary branches of the Vedic knowledge. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we see here now, this is the mention of the, it's going to be talking about how the Vedas manifest, which we'll be talking about in detail. And then also is that it's talking about the Upapuranas and also the Upavedas, and we'll read about those as well. So, in the word for word here, it's interesting because it's saying that, first, of course, Ayurveda, which is the medical science, Dhanurveda, which is the military science, Gandharvaveda, musical art, and then also Stapatyam, architectural. So sometimes there's a difference in the description, which we'll read about here, about which are the Upavedas. Sometimes it just mentions the ones that I just read, but it'll instead of or, sometimes they replace or the Stapatyam, which is the which is one of the Upavedas. But it's also the Veda of architecture. Sometimes that's replaced with Arthashastra. So Arthashastra, Chanaka Pandit himself also did Arthashastra, talking about how the king should behave and how the king is to rule within a kingdom. And so, first of all, Prabhupada, just to lay the understanding before we start reading all this detailed knowledge, is that Prabhupada mentions this Vedavara Rattaha, Bhagavad Gita 2:42. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Bhagavad Gita 2:45, says the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. So here's Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He's actually instructing that the different flowery words of the Vedas is what will entangle you. Become transcendental to these different descriptions. Because the thing is, otherwise, you just end up doing demigod worship or material karma kanda, jnana kanda, like karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishara bandha. That these are pots of poisons that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one can become entangled in. So then also on Bhagavad Gita, it says, Bhagavad Gita 9:20, those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purport. The word Trividyaha refers to the three Vedas, Samaveda, Yajurveda, Rigveda. And a Brahmana who has studied these three Vedas is called the Trivedi. So actually is that originally there was Chaturvedi, which is the one who was the expert on the four Vedas. When I lived in India for 4 years, there was one gentleman, because we were going to the libraries and doing books at the libraries all over India. And at that time, I had met one scholar. He was at the university. I tried to get an interview from him for Prabhupada's books. And I said, your name is Chaturvedi. I said, so you know the four Vedas? And he goes, oh, no. And then, of course, as you go along, then you meet Mr. Trivedi. You know, I said, do you know the three Vedas? Oh, no. And then I met Mr. Dwivedi. Do you know the three Vedas? Oh, no, I don't know. And then, of course, Mr. Vedi, you know, he said, well, I know a little, you know. So that's how it is in Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya here and says, there's two kinds of educational systems. One deals with transcendental knowledge, paravidya, and the other with material knowledge, aparavidya. All the Vedas, Rik, Sama, Yajur, Satarva, and their corollaries known as Siksha, Kalpa, Vyakaran, Nirukta, Chanda, and Jyotish, which we'll read about them also, belong to the inferior system of material knowledge, aparavidya. By paravidya, one can understand the Akshara Brahman or the Absolute Truth, unquote. So I put a note here on my research. It says, Vedanta Sutra is paravidya. Srimad Bhagavatam is an explanation of that paravidya. Chaturvargya, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha is aparavidya. Any knowledge giving information about the spiritual world, spiritual life, spiritual identity, and spirit soul is called paravidya. So it's a superior knowledge. And also on this, on these three verses, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, on verse 36, he says that in the word-for-word translation, the word muktaha means from his mouths. So Brahma, having the four mouths, came from the different mouths. So in text 37, he says, this is a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Maitreya said, from Brahma's eastern mouth, the Rig Veda and activities of the Hota were established. From his southern mouth, the Yajurveda and activities of the Advaryu were established. From his western mouth, the Samaveda and the activities of the Ugata were established. And from his northern mouth, the Atharvaveda and the activities of the Brahma were established. Purport. It tells what these different Sanskrit words meant. This verse describes the creation of the four Hotas. The action of the Hota is Shastra. That's like we understand. Shastra is the basis of everything. Prabhupada mentions that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chanting of mantras without intonation following Rig Veda, and the action of the Advaryu is sacrificial performance, Ijya, like we have our god brother here, Ijya does. So it's a sacrificial performance, Ijya, following the Yajurveda. And singing verses, Stuti Stomam, is the action of the Ugata following Samaveda. This takes the form of Trivrit Stoma. The action of the Brahma following the Atharvaveda is remedial measure. And in the verse 38, he mentions here that Brahma created Ayurveda, medicine, Dhanurveda, military science, Gandharvaveda, music, and Sthapatya, architectural, from his mouth, starting from the eastern mouth. Purport. This verse describes the creation of the Upavedas, and we'll read about the Rupavedas, the Upapuranas, like that. Sthapatyam refers to the activities of architects, which are described in the Vishvakarma Shastra. So that's Silpa Shastra, Vastu Shastra. And also going on here, see, if one wants to study the Vedas, they can't just study the Vedas on their own. They have to study Vedas with the Puranas. The Puranas are the commentary on the Vedas. So that's why Bhagavatam is the topmost cream of the Vedic literature, because it's describing in detail what the Vedas actually mean. So it's mentioned here from the Atharva Veda 11.9.24, it states that the Rik, Sama, Yajurs, and the Puranas evolved out of the Uchchita, in other words, a remainder of sacrificial offering and a symbol also of Brahma. The process of editing the Puranas had already started in the Vedic period itself, as shown by the reference to Itihasa Purana in the Vritya Sukta of the Atharva Veda, and by the subsequent references in the Chandogya Upanishad and the other Sanskrit texts. See, many times you have it where the Puranas, many of the smarta brahmanas in India, or even outside of India, even here in the States, they try to minimize the Puranas. They say, oh, in Kali Yuga, these other so-called spiritualists are trying to make the Puranas more important than the four Vedas. Well, they don't understand that the Puranas are the commentary on the Vedas themselves. So it's mentioned here in the Vayu Purana, it says, the Brahmana who may know the four Vedas with the Angas and the Upanishads should not really be regarded as having attained proficiency if he should not thoroughly know the Purana. He should reinforce the Veda with the Itihasa Puranas. The Veda is afraid of him who is deficient in tradition, thinking that he will do me hurt. That the reading of the Puranas deserve this importance is due to the fact that while the Vedas contain hymns of historical and religious importance, the Puranas explain the teaching of the Vedas and are meant for the masses. While the Vedas mention the names of some of the popular heroes of the most ancient Vedic and pre-Vedic period in a casual way, the Puranas tell us the genealogy of different rulers along with their expansionistic activities. So this is why it's a very important that we actually, even Vedanta Sutta is very difficult to understand. The verses are very terse and they're very short, but they're loaded with meaning. That's why it takes the real acharyas, Vaishnavacharyas, to comment, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Baladeva Vidyabhushana. It takes these different Vaishnavacharyas, even Prabhupada, to comment on the Vedanta Sutra so that one will actually get the proper understanding. So it's mentioned here in the Tattvasandarbha, and this is from Anucheda 12. It says, in the previous Anucheda, Jiva Goswami has established the Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva, which constitute the valid means of acquiring knowledge about the Supreme. Could I have a cup of water, please? Here he points out the practical difficulties involved with studying them nowadays. The first difficulty, so there's many difficulties. The first difficulty is the inability of the complete text of the Vedas. Originally, the Veda was one, and at the advent of the current age, Kali Yuga, Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into four. And that's mentioned in Bhagavatam, Vyadadhat Yagasantatyai Vedam Ekam Chatur Vidham, Bhagavatam 1.4.19. Then, as explained, the Kurma Purana, Purva 52, text 19 and 20, it says Vedavyas followers further divide the Veda into 1,130 branches. Okay, I'll just read the English. Following the Vedic, the Rig Veda was divided into 21 branches, the Yajurveda into 100 branches, the Samaveda into 1,000 branches, and the Atharvaveda into 9 branches. Each of these branches had 4 subdivisions called Samhita, Brahmana, Aranyaka, and Upanishad. So altogether, the Vedas consisted of 1,130 Samhitas. So how many Samhitas are available now? Brahma Samhita. You know, there's just a Vyaja, there's a Vyaja, another one. There's a few, okay? Then he says that there was 1,130 Brahmanas, 1,130 Aranyakas, and 1,130 Upanishads. So how many Upanishads are now? Like the basic 108, but there's some more, like 200 or something. It says a total of 4,520 titles. By the influence of time, however, many texts have been lost. At present, only, 11 Samhitas, so only 11 out of the 1,130, 18 Brahmanas, 7 Aranyakas, and 220 Upanishads are available. This constitutes less than 6% of the original Vedas. So that's one reason why also, sometimes devotees like to argue with each other. But on the heavenly planets, the Vedas and the Puranas are so expanded unlimitedly, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, so many answers are there on the heavenly planets. So that's the reason why, is that, you know, there's no reason to keep sometimes going, arguing and arguing. We don't even have the complete information. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Now, just this is an example that Prabhupada gave. He said in Vrindavan, if my disciple is giving class and he drinks water from the cup to his lips, he said, then I'll be criticized all over Vrindavan. Because that's why you see Prabhupada always holding up when he's giving class. Because otherwise, it's known the cup's contaminated, the hand's contaminated, then you touch the book, and then the book is also, the shastra is contaminated. So that's why Prabhupada always set that example. Every time when he's leading Bhagavatam, before he leaves Bhagavatam, he drinks some water. Okay, so then the second difficulty one faces in trying to study the Vedas concerns the language. There are two varieties of Sanskrit, Vaidika, Vedic, and Lokika, worldly or ordinary. And only the first of these is found in the Vedas. That's why when you look at some of the English translations of the Vedas, you see some of the lines are so long and then short and then long and then medium, then long and then short. And it's much harder to chant the Vedas in this Vaidika Sanskrit. That's why is that when you see Bhagavatam, you see Gita, that's in the ordinary Sanskrit, which is very nice because it's easy to read, it's easy to translate, and it's easy to speak. Another difficulty. Even for studying the Vedas, one must study their 6 corollaries or limbs called the Vedangas. These 6 limbs are Shiksha, which is the science of pronunciation, Kalpa, the process of performing sacrifice, Vyakarana, the rules of grammar, Nirukta, the meanings of difficult words used in the Vedas and their derivations, Jyotish, the astronomy and astrology, and the Chandas, the Vedic meters. Each of these limbs is extensive and requires serious study. To further complicate the matter, with the advent of Kali Yuga, human memory has grown weaker. Just like in India, Guru Kripa, he met one man and he knew every verse in the Bhagavatam, 18,000. And Guru Kripa was testing him. Then after he tested him, then the guy goes off and smokes a bidi. What's the use? So it's like, so we don't want the parrot repetition. We want the recitation that's done with the heart, with love, because that's what Krishna likes, and that's we want to please Krishna. Okay. So then, okay. So we're going to be hearing here about the different Dhanurved, Gandharva Ved, Arthashastra, and also Stapatya. Okay, let me just mention a few more things here about the origin of the Vedas. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.4.10 informs us the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama, Atharva Veda, and Itihasas, histories like the Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Puranas, are all breathed out by the Absolute Truth. Okay. The commentator, Sridhar Swami, Bhavarta Deepika 6.1.40, points out that the Vedas are supremely authoritative because they arise from Narayan himself. Jiva Goswami notes that the Vedic scripture, Madhyandina Shruti, attributes all the Vedas, Sama, Atharva, Rig, and Yajurs, as well as the Puranas and Itihasas, to the breathing of the Supreme Being. Finally, the Atharva Veda states that Krishna, who is the beginning, instructed Brahma and disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Okay, as we have seen, the Vedic scriptures delineate their own origin. The scriptures describe themselves as apurusheya, meaning that they do not come from any materially conditioned person, but from the Supreme, the transcendental source, a source transcendental to mundane duality. A Vedic knowledge was imparted to Brahma at the dawn of creation. Brahma then instructed Narada, whose realizations appear through Vedic knowledge. So, ourselves, we're in the line of Narada Muni, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So these different Upavedas, it's called auxiliary knowledge, or it's added extra knowledge, but it's still part of that Veda. And so the Ayurveda, of course, we also understand the Ayurveda is that there's two, Charaka Samhita and Shushruta Samhita are the ones that are still available. And it's also mentioned that the Atharva, that this Ayurveda as well, other prominent names such as Aitareya, Kashyapa, Harit, Agnivesha, and Bedamuni. So basically now there's just three important books. I mentioned two of them. The third one is the Ashtanga Hridayam. These books are collectively called Brihat Trayi. Patanjali has also authored a text on Ayurveda. Okay. So then also Dhanurved. The Upaveda explains civil and military defense, war and politics. The art of warfare, well known for bringing victory in ancient times, has now been reduced to obscurity, and these days, unfortunately, it's mentioned as the art of using bows and arrows. Starting from the Samhitas and Brahmanas, there's mention of this Shastra, terms of battlefield instruments such as the Ashti, Vajri, Satagni, which gives us evidence of the usage even in Vedic times. Later in the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, a good deal of light is thrown upon this science and art, particularly in the description of battles. This Shastra had its origins from Brahma, as given in Shruti, Smritis, and Puranas. Rig Veda Sukta 9.112 describes the art of making bows and arrows and grinding of the tips of arrows and carving stones using them, apart from praises of Indra, Varuna, Agni, Rudra as great warriors wielding the bows. The most ancient books of Dhanurveda are not available, but some of the books known as that are available are Dhanurvidhi, Dronavidya, Kodanda Mandana, and Dhanurved Samhita. Then we have the Gandharva Veda. Gandharva Veda is the science of music, derived from the Samaveda, as evidenced by the list of Pravartikas seen in the Samaveda Anukramanikas. Starting from Ranayani to Jaimini, the seers have given Gandharva Vidya in Bard Varsha, later developed by Maharshi Jaimini and his students. This ancient Veda was the root of Ganavidya, which gave musical notes and spread as classical music tradition, as evident from Narada Shiksha. Yamalakshtaka Tantra describes the existence of the Gandharva Veda consisting of 36,000 slokas, but it is at present unavailable. The Gandharva Veda is treated and studied as part of the 64 kalas in the present ages. So the 64 kalas are mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. Then, it's also mentioned in relationship to the Arthashastra, even though the Arthashastra, it's more stressed, the Vastu Shastra, but it says the Arthashastra is made as a compendium of almost all the Arthashastras, which in view of the acquisition and maintenance of earth have been composed by ancient teachers. Topics dealt with include discipline, restraint of sense organs, creation of counselors and priests, institution of spies, ministers, duties of a Raj, Maharaj, his duty to protect his Parivara, harem, and personal safety, duties of the government in charge and superintendent, sovereignty, formation of villages, division of land, construction of forts, revenue, armory, treasure, agriculture, weaving, slaughterhouses. This is forest produce, ships, chariots, infantry, resolution of legal disputes, recovery of debts, cooperative understandings, rules for slaves and laborers, dealing with betting and gambling, robbery, defamation, among other laws and policies relating to war, invasion, army, strategic planning, and secret punishments. Now, the next one is Sulpa Shastra, Vastu Shastra, Stapatya Shastra. For few scholars treat Silpa Veda or Stapatya Veda as the Upaveda instead of Arthashastra. It says, which deals with architecture and various arts. Also considered as one of the 64 Kalas now, Silpa Shastra originally dealt with architectural sites including water bodies, rest houses, ashrams, temples, etc. According to Shukraniti, there are a number of arts, but 64 are considered to be more prominent. More commonly called Vastu, it shows the right design of structures to bring in wholesome earth and spatial energies. Yoga uses Vastu for the orientation of temples, ashrams, and meditational rooms. So there's a lot of information available on... Yes, Prabhu. Oh, this information. This was just off the internet.
Sorry?
Off the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just information because it's general information. Yeah, it's just general information. What I was reading earlier was from the, that was from the Sundarbha. Yeah. And so the thing is that you can see how all these different, now we'll read too about the different Upa Puranas. Because... Okay, so we have the four Upavedas, okay, then, and then we also have 20 Smritis, Dharma Shastras, that's mentioned in the Yajnavalkya Samhita, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and then, this is Ekanath compiled this information, our God brother. It says that it's mentioned in the Padma Purana, okay. They explain the teachings of the four Vedas in story form, making spiritual life more simple, and therefore in this age, they are important. There are 18 Mahapuranas with all together 398,000 verses, okay, divided into three groups. So now, when you have the 18 Puranas, there'll be different lists in different Puranas. Sometimes they leave out one and they add one. And you're going like, whoa, wait a minute. I had to do some research to figure that out. If you're going to include the Bhagavat Purana, and if you just stick with these some of these lists, then it comes to 19. Well, there's only 18. So what happens? The Linga Purana used to be part of the Shiva Purana. So they'll leave out the Linga Purana. I found this out through research. Or sometimes they leave out the Bhavishya Purana, which was considered to be part in the past also of the Shiva Purana. So the thing is that, or they leave out the Vayu. So they'll leave out one of those three to fit in the Bhagavatam. So the thing is that the list for the Sattvika Puranas mentioned in the Padma Purana is Vishnu, Narada, Bhagavat, Garuda, Padma, and Varaha. The Rajasic Puranas, the Brahmanda, the Brahmavaivarta, the Markandeya, the Vishya, Vamana, and Brahma Purana. The Tamasa Puranas are Matsya, Kurma, Linga, Vayu. And they put Vayu and Shiva together. Skanda Purana and Agni. Now, Prabhupada wanted to translate the Brahma Vaivarta Purana because that Purana, next to Bhagavatam, has more about Krishna Leela than any other Purana. So it's a really master, it's a wonderful masterpiece. But because there's a section on that for worldly affairs, and there's another one for Ganesh, so therefore is that they put it in the category of Rajas. But when you go through it, it's just pure nectar. Okay. Then there's about the agamas, because there's different Vaishnava agamas, and there are three main agama schools: Shaiva, Shakta, and Vaishnava. But we only follow the Pancharatra has different explanations anyway, because we're running out of time. So I'm going to be quoting from Hindu Superiority. This is a book that used to float around the Los Angeles temple during the 70s. I got a copy of it. So it gives some excellent research in here, because it talks about some things you may not find anywhere else. So, okay. So it's talking about this, some of the different Upa Vedas. Okay, it says, the Ayurveda is the oldest system of medicine, and originally it was revealed by the great physician Dhanvantari to his pupil, Shushruta. Charaka states that originally the contents of his own works was communicated by Atreya Muni to Agnivesh, and by him to Charaka, who condensed where it too was too big and expanded where it was too brief. Shushruta and Charaka are now the two most important and well-known works on the Vedic medicine. Okay. Then the next one, it says, the author of the history of Indian chemistry says, according to Shushruta, the dissection of dead bodies is a sin quo non. It's very important to this, the student of surgery. And this high authority lays particular stress on knowledge gained from experiments. Excuse me. And observations. So they knew the body well. Here's one that's as interesting. This is some of the knowledge that had been lost over thousands of years. But this is something that was originally in Sanskrit, translated into Arabic, and then the information came back to India. It was a book on 11 chapters and 30 sections on the breeding of horses. Now you remember, it was either Sahadev. He was a horse whisperer. I think it was Sahadev or the other brother. He was a horse whisperer, and the horses would follow him everywhere. So anyway, in these chapters, it just mentions the chapters. One, on the breeds and names of horses. Two, on their odor, on riding and breeding of horses. Chapter three, on stable management and on ways building nests in a stable. So that means the horse must have some preference about what type of nest. On the color and its varieties, chapter 5, on their blemishes, 6, on their limbs, 7, on sickness and its remedies, 8, on bleeding, if you have to bleed the horse, 9, on food and diet, 10, on feeding for the purpose of fattening, on ascertaining the age of the teeth. So anyway, that just gives you an idea about, it was a whole shastra just on horse breeding. It's like, the Vedic literature is so vast. So then, the 18 Upa Puranas. Okay, the Sanat Kumara Upa Purana, Naradiya, Vishnu Damotara, Varuna, Anasanasa, Aditya, Nrsimha, Parashara, Kapila, Samba, Kalika, Devi Bhagavat, Durvasa, Maheshwara, Manava, Nandi, Sori, Sura, and Vishishta Upa Puranas. So some of these have been translated. I know the Vishnu Damotara is in English, and then so is the one about at the end of Kali Yuga. Yeah, some of these are the Srima Upa Purana. Okay. So going on here, it's mentioned that the mastery, so this is about other sciences. This indicates the mastery of all the arts and the sciences on which the Vimana Vidya is based. So about Vimanas, the whole science of Vimanas, flying craft, including a knowledge of the different strata and the currents of the atmosphere of atmospheric air, the temperature and density of each, and other various minor particulars. Viman Vidya is clearly mentioned in the Vedas. The Yajurveda, chapter 6, verse 21, says, and also Manu says, this science is said by some to have been part of the more apprehensive science called the Vayu Vidya, mentioned in the Stapatya Brahmana 11 and 14. So there it is, you have it, that these were all, now then also about music. There's six male ragas associated with them, or 36 female ragas. So this is all about this science of music. And it's also mentioned here that Bharata, Ishwara, Parama, and Nanda were among the great musicians of ancient India. And here's an interesting one. In recent times, however, Naik, Gopal, and Tanzin have been the most celebrated ones. About Naik Gopal, it is written, quote, of the magical effect produced by the singing of Gopal Naik and of the romantic termination of the career of this sage, it is said that he was commanded by King Akbar, the Muslim king, to sing the Raga Deepuk. That's the hot one. And he was obliged to obey, in other words, otherwise he probably would have cut his head off, and repaired to the river Jamuna, in which he plunged up to his neck. As he warbled the wild and magical notes, flames burst from his body and consumed him to ashes. That's recorded history. It is recorded that of Tanzin that he was also commanded by Emperor Akbar to sing the Shri or Night Raga at midnight, and the power of the music was such that it instantly became night. And the darkness extended in a circle around the palace for as long as his voice could be heard. I mean, that's the power of sound. It's like, wow. Then also, I'll just skip some of these. Okay. This is important because this is part of the Dhanurved. The following fivefold classification of Hindu weapons is exhaustive. It says missiles thrown with an instrument or engine are called Yantra Mukta. 2. Those hurled by hand are called Hasta Mukta. Weapons which may or may not be thrown, Mukta Mukta, as javelins, tridents, etc. 4. Those which are not thrown, as swords, maces, etc. 5. Natural weapons, as fists, etc. Then Binpala, Tomara, Naracha, Prishu, Rishti, Pratisha, Kripana, Shapani, Pasha, etc. are some of the arms of the ancient Indians, Shastras, now extinct. Okay, the calivers, this is also mentioned in the 25th stanza of Prithvi Raj Rasa, it is said that, quote, the calivers and cannons made a loud report when they were fired off, and the noise which issued from the ball was heard at a distance of 10 krosha. And it's also mentioned by one Indian historian called Raj Kundan Lal, who lived in the court of the king of Oude, says that there was a big gun named Lichkma, in the possession of His Majesty, the King of Oude, which had originally been in the artillery of Maharaj Prithviraj of Ajmer. The author speaks of the regular science of war of the postal department and the public or Roman roads. Let us turn to ancient India. It's mentioned amongst ordinary weapons, one is called Vajra and the thunderbolt, and the specification seems to donate the employment of some explosive projectile which could not have been in use except by the agency of something like gunpowder and its properties. Then it's also mentioned by Alexander the Great in a letter to Aristotle. He mentions the terrible flashes of flame which he beheld showered on his army in India. And then also in Vishvamrita, when giving different kinds of weapons to Lord Ram, speaks in the Ramayana as one of the Agneya, another of Shikara. Quote, it says, it's been translated that Shikara is a combustible weapon. And then it's mentioned in the Mahabharata, we read, as a flying ball emitting the sound of a thundercloud, which it's expressed in reference to artillery. The Hadivamsa thus speaks of the fiery weapons. Quote, King Sagara, having received firearms from Bhargava, conquered the world after slaying the Taljungas and the Haihayas. And these firearms appear to have belonged to the Bhargava, the family of Bhrigu. Then also it's mentioned in the Hadivamsa, Urva, having performed the usual ceremonies on the birth of the great-minded prince and having taught him the Vedas, instructed him in the use of arms, the great-armed Urva presented him the fiery weapon which even the mortals could not stand. And then also in the description of fortresses and battles, the Satagnis are also mentioned. That's cannons. Satagni literally means that which kills hundreds at once. In Sanskrit dictionaries, Satagni is defined as a machine which shoots out pieces of iron and other things to kill numbers of men. Then Ramayana also mentioned, and then it quotes what canto and what verse there is. So I'll just read the translation. It says, Ramayana says that the Satagni was made of iron. In the Sundara Khand, it is compared in size with big broken trees or their huge off roots, and in appearance said to resemble trunks of trees. They were not only mounted on forts, but were carried to the battlefields, and they made noise like thunder. What else could therefore this be but cannons? Besides the Ramayana, the Puranas make frequent mention of Satagnis. And it's also mentioned in the Matsya Purana. It says, under the art of government, it says the name used in the Purana is Sahastra Agni, Sahastra Aghati. And that means hundreds and thousands of innumerable guns and cannons are mentioned as existing in Lanka under Ravana. Okay. So then also, this is interesting, this is mentioning about destructive liquids. It says, in ancient India, there were machines which, besides throwing balls of iron and other solid missiles, they also threw peculiar kinds of destructive liquids at great distances. These ingredients of these liquids are unknown. Their effects, however, are astonishing. Okay? It says that it is spoken of an oil manufactured by the Indians and used by them in warfare and destroying the walls and battlements of towns, that no battering rams or other machines can resist it. So imagine, probably like an acid or a fiery acid, something. Phosphorus or magnesium. 911. Okay. And that it is inextinguishable and insatiable, burning both arms and burning men. Then also, it's mentioned in the Ashtarveda, the most important and scientific part of the art of war. It is not known to the soldiers. Well, this is written in 1900s. Now we know about these type of things. It consisted of annihilating the hostile army by evolving and suffocating it in different layers and masses of atmospheric air. That's ETO. Ethylene oxide. They were going to use it in the Persian Gulf War, but they didn't have to. Okay, yeah, it's time to go. Okay, so just read one last one here. It says, is that when an invading army would come, then the thing is enveloping it in an atmosphere of poisonous gases filled with awe-striking shadowy shapes with awful sounds. And the Ramayana mentions it also. Anyway, so that just gives you an idea of all this knowledge and information. But this is the reason why we like Bhagavatam better, because Bhagavatam's full of nectar and said all these little details. Jai, so any questions? Jai Jai.
Four Vedas came from the four heads of Lord Brahma. So that brings a couple of questions, because you quoted, Jiva Goswami, who quoted Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, about how the one Veda was divided by Vyasadeva into four. But the verse we read, we're reading this section now, is about how the four Vedas came from the four heads of Lord Brahma. And that also brings a question, like, in other universes where there Brahma has more than four heads, are there more than four Vedas?
Kalpa Bade.
Any ideas?
Well, from what I understand is that, just like it says, each Purana is written in different kalpas. So the thing is that even Madhvacharya was mentioning, I didn't quote it, but Madhvacharya mentioned, it isn't that every Purana appears in every day of Brahma, and sometimes they're in different order. In other words, is that in different kalpas, like we're in the Varaha Kalpa now. So we have the Bhagavatam, like that. So the thing is that, yeah, if you have more heads, like, in the, it's a good point. You know, so many different things will be popping out from the different heads. Yeah, it's very good. It's a philosophical point, you know, and it's a philosophical speculation. It's not invalid. There's validity to it, and that's very well could be possible. But like Prabhupada said, if you want to know, go there yourself. So the thing is, yeah, that's left up in the air. Because I haven't read anything in Shastra where it says that the Brahmas that have more heads and they're producing more Vedas, or, you know, I don't have anything on that.
Well, what about the one Veda or four Vedas in the beginning?
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Is that's also another thing, is that if they have it, they may appear.
Fourth chapter of Bhagavatam, it describes.
Right, right.
In they detail may, how well, Vyasadeva.
Well, see, originally what happened is the one contained the four.
Huh?
The one contained the four. It is only in the 5,000 years ago that actually they were divided up by Vyasadeva. But originally they were all one. They were all together. Like, but we were just reading, is that they were all part of the original Veda.
But the verse, the Bhagavatam, third canto, describes how the four Vedas came from the four heads of Brahma.
Yeah, yeah. There's no problem with that. But then where do all the other Upa Vedas and all, where do they come from? You see what I mean?
They were all in song form, word and mouth, until they put the writing in 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. So okay, if the four Vedas come from the four mouths of Brahma, mm-hmm. but then whoever was speaking it will just speak all as one, you know? Like, in other words, amalgamate all the four into one until Kali Yuga, when Vyasadeva divided them back into the four.
Yeah.
But another question comes to mind. Mm. The Vedas doesn't play a great role in Kali Yuga. I mean, if you can see, we mostly use the Puranas and other supplementary literatures.
And we get accused of that.
We don't pay too much attention to the Vedas.
Yeah,
really.
We get accused of that. So the thing is, but that's okay, because in Kali Yuga, this is what's the most important thing, is the holy name, the Bhagavad Gita, that's what they call it in Upanishad, Gita Upanishad. These are the most important things for Kali Yuga, and also Bhagavatam. Like Prabhupada was saying, just having the Gita, the Nectar of Devotion, the Ishapanishad, having these things is enough for spiritual realization. I mean, all these different literatures, everything was originally as one, you see. And even though they might have come out of the forehead, what about the fifth head of Brahma? Why did it come out of the fifth head? Because the Lord Shiva snipped off the fifth head when Brahma had meditated upon his own daughter, going after his own daughter. So the thing is, why didn't something come out of the fifth head? So, I mean, there's so many details like this that are there in the Vedic literature, and then trying to understand exactly how it all fits together, sometimes it's difficult. Like Prabhupada said about the universe, TOVP, round and flat, impossible. But there it is, you know.
There's another point with Brahma running after his daughter. Last night I saw it stated that Cupid actually bewildered Brahma. And that's how he actually thinks. You see, but this part we didn't get before, you know, but it makes sense, really. You know, it's stated that Cupid bewildered Brahma. And there are some reasons behind that, too. We'll discuss that tomorrow.
And even worse than Cupid is when Vishnu himself throws it on Lord Shiva when he takes the form of Mohini,
yeah.
You know, and then drags him through all the ashrams of the different rishis.
Yeah.
So that's also, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we'll continue with the
right,
Puranas.
Then you're going to talk about the fifth Veda.
That's right.
Thank you, Pundrik. I do appreciate your drilling. I like it. I'm not all-knowing, so I can't answer every single thing, but I try.
Pundrik is a scholar.
I know he is. He's helped us in many ways, providing us with so many different shastras. And okay, so it's past time, 9 o'clock. Hari Bol. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. What is the need of all this detailed knowledge?
But a single fragment. Thank you.